come back.
239-1310. 239-1310 is Afton News with Amos. Any of you that are listening that ever attended any kind of college for any period of time, whether you took one class or whether you graduated, know that the number one no-no at a college or university is thou shalt not cheat. And that rule in academics is fairly well established. And what happened the last 2 years at one of the original charter schools in this city, Flanner House Elementary, no linkage to Flanner House of Indianapolis. It's been around 116 years. They were just the land, and Flanner House of Indianapolis was just the landlord. The school was independently operated. It was not a corporate school, not owned by a corporation or somebody that's got 120 schools all across the country and operates in multiple states. It was a grassroots school that was started from the bosom of our community. Originally chartered by Mayor Bart Peterson as one of the three original charter schools. In the state of Indiana, every individual in a school district or a school, public or private, Shimon, any school employee who is a test coordinator, a principal, or any individual who administers, handles, or has access to secure test materials at a school district or an individual school has to sign a legal document called the Indiana Testing Security and Integrity Agreement. A legal document. Those employees swear on that document. They acknowledge that they will have access to secure assessments in the Indiana assessment system. That's like I-STEP, I-READ, all of these standardized tests you have. They also acknowledge that they have read, understood, and agree to adhere to the code of ethical practices and procedures established pursuant to a particular state law. And the Indiana Assessment Program Manual for all assessments within the Indiana assessment system. The person also has to swear that they understand that assessment materials are secure and it is my professional responsibility to protect their integrity and security. They also agree to annually complete training as required by another set of state regulations. And then those employees further pledge. Let me read you the pledge stuff here. One, I have read and understand the code. Two, I will not keep, copy, reproduce, paraphrase, distribute, review, or discuss any test materials that have not been released by the Indiana Department of Education. Three, I will not use test items, test booklets, answer sheets, or any of the information contained in an assessment to review, prepare students for a test unless and until it is released. Four, I will not allow students or any other person who is not authorized by the principal or corporation test coordinator to have access to test materials or answer keys. Five, I will not alter students' responses in any manner, indicate answers, point out rationale, prompt, etc. Six, I will not disclose individual student test scores or test performance data to unauthorized persons. Seven, I will adhere to the parameters that apply to the use of assistive technology and document all applicable assistive technology to ensure the accuracy of student responses. Eight, if serving as an examiner for a student with an individualized education program, that's an IEP, or an individual learning plan, ILP, or plan developed in pursuant to Section 504 of the Federal Rehabilitation Act of 1973, I will adhere to the accommodations listed therein. If serving as an examiner for a student has a temporary condition and requires an accommodation pursuant to particular state law, I will provide appropriate accommodations. Nine, I have read the information and instructions provided in all applicable sections of the Indiana Program Assessment Material Manual. I agree to administer assessments according to these procedures. 10, I understand that a violation of the code or requirements provided in the Indiana Assessment Program Manual may constitute a breach of test integrity. I understand that any behavior could cause student achievement to be inaccurately represented or reported constitutes such a violation. 11, I understand that any suspected breach of test integrity shall be reported to the Department of Education pursuant to the protocol for investigations of alleged violations of test integrity as required under a specific state code. And 12, get 12, y'all. I understand that if a breach of test integrity or intellectual property right infringement occurs as the result of my actions, and if I hold a license certification granted by the Department of Education, my license or certification may be suspended or revoked under Indiana Code 20-28-5-7 and another part of the Indiana something or other code. And the Department of Education may pursue civil action under Indiana intellectual property laws under something else. And each of those employees are supposed to print their name, sign their name, say what they do, what school, and there has to be a witness. And those documents are to be kept by the school for no fewer than 3 years. So for those of you that were hearing about this, Shivana, this scandal, and asking, hey, if some adult broke the rules, what do they get? Well, hey, if you sign this form, that's very clear that you're going to get your hand seriously slapped. State Representative Vanessa Summers was one of our lawmakers that was yesterday over at the Flanner House building and was there when there were conversations not only with the board of the Flanner House Elementary School, but more importantly, hearing parents and grandparents in pain. And Representative joins me live. Representative, welcome.
Thank you so much.
As I was reading, and I really wanted the community, when I found this document, to really understand that employees of schools, whether they're charter, we're not just talking about public schools. If there's a parochial school or a Catholic school or the Oaks Academy and they're conducting these tests, those employees are signing this as well. And that's very, very clear. These are things you promised to do. And if you break one of these rules, you in deep trouble. So I want the community to know there's sanctions there, what those school employees all across our state are required to sign in blood. But you were there yesterday. How would you describe the mood?
I would describe the mood as extremely sad, extremely frustrated, and hit out of the, hit in the blind spot, you know, hit out of the blue. You know, some of those parents got texts or phone calls from their children from school. You know, yeah. That didn't necessarily have it on the radio or the, and have the TV or they were at work where that wasn't possible. So they got texts and things from their school. So I saw kids crying. I saw parents crying. I saw teachers crying. And it was just, it was heart-wrenching. It was heart-wrenching due to the fact that the way it was done. You know, they were promised to be able, time to be able to tell their parents. And they absolutely did not keep that promise. They went ahead and put it out in the media. And so we have parents that were listening to the radio and heard it, parents that were at work and some one of their friends called them and said, your school's closing, kids calling, crying. You know, so it was not handled as, I think, in the best manner that it could have been handled.
I was talking to somebody, State Representative Vanessa Summers, earlier today about the timeline. And in one of the instances this school year, the school found out that there had been a breach of protocol, that there had been a breach of test security. And they reported it to the State Department of Education and called for an investigation. Should that have been the point where at least the Flanner Elementary school community, particularly the parents, should have at least been notified we may have had a possible breach, and the state is going to investigate. Obviously, that's all you could say, but at least to let the parents know something, that something was going on.
You know, I can't second guess the principal, and I can't second guess the board members on that particular issue. Did they receive that paperwork?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, you know, there are a lot of questions, and there are some shady things that are, you know, of course they're coming up now, but we're at an impossible point. So now, you know, kids, the parents brought up things, simple things like, I can't afford to buy any other color uniforms. Mm-hmm. I can't do, you know, how every family has to bring in certain amount of Kleenex. I mean, right. They were down to the bare essentials of what.
They was down to the nitty gritty.
They were down to the nitty gritty. They, you know, and the fact that they had chose that school because they did not want their children in IPS.
Mm-hmm.
Then they did want a charter,
mm-hmm.
and that the schools that they had called, most of them said that the other schools they had called may have been closed. They weren't accepting any more children.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that, you know, you're at your job working, and then all of a sudden you're learning that your child is getting ready to not have a school. You have to find another school, pay the same fees over again. Take the same things back to the schools and get more uniforms. Those are where they were. That, mm-hmm. you know, that's where their mindset was.
Right.
So yes, they had questions for everyone when I was in there. And the question was, is if you were going to send something home, you could have sent it home in the children's book bag like you always do. So right. that was a question to the board members and to the principal when I was in there. So it's not like they didn't cover.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, but when you just hear some news, then only thing you're thinking about is, okay, I'm gonna have to come up with, you know, at least another $400 for uniforms, etc.
239-1310, 239-1310, this afternoon's Namus. We're with State Representative Vanessa Summers. She was one of the ones attending the parents' meeting. And, you know, sometimes people say, where are our legislators when there were a crisis? Well, there were three members of the General Assembly that were there. State Senator Greg Taylor was another. State Representative Vanessa Summers, who may join us later, was there as well. Senator Taylor, welcome. What sense did you get out of being in that meeting yesterday? What did you take away from there?
Amos, I saw a lot of frustration on the part of parents who were shocked and surprised by the announcement that the school was going to be closing. I saw a lot of frustration regarding the ability of the school to do something to remedy the situation and mm-hmm. The fact that they only had a few days in which to actually do something.
Right.
And I saw a lot of frustration. I saw teachers and administrators who were upset because they were not a part of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
I think they felt like that they had done what they needed to do to mm-hmm. get rid of the people who were responsible for the claims that had been founded by the Department of Education, as well as the mayor's office,
mm-hmm.
and they felt like they didn't have a chance to at least say, "What else can we do?"
Mm-hmm.
This is a situation where the mayor's office determined that it was appropriate as the authorizer to shut the school down, and I think people were
with
surprised.
No appeal process. There is no appeal process to this.
Mm-hmm.
None. There's none.
I'll ask about some potential legislative solutions in a minute. And I did get a call in the interest of fairness. It's amazing how folk would want to reach out to you in a crisis. It's amazing, you know, a representative, she's giving me that look. It's amazing how that happens. And I talked to the deputy mayor for education earlier this morning, Jason Cloth, and some of that pain that you just talked about in terms of the cost, in terms of the worry from those parents. He did indicate that the city is going to work with whatever school systems parents find for their children that require uniforms to be able to eat that uniform cost if there has to be new color uniforms for those young people.
The young people, those children have been together since kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
So they have forge relationships and friendships. My son went to a school where he was with kids all through
Right.
They're adult friends now. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, mm-hmm. so that's another thing. And for them to really be able to understand, and then, you know, after we took the parent, we took the kids out. You know, and I was in the room with the kids, and I was having a conversation with them.
So they did kind of get the kids out of the, so they didn't hear their parents maybe say something. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Before it went up a notch, we were able to get the children out and take them.
So the adults had an adult meeting.
Yes, the adults had an adult meeting.
Rated R. That's what I heard. It was rated.
PG-13.
PG-13.
No, it was R.
It was rated. this is the station of faith. When I say R, the audience know what I'm talking about. But the kids, what was the mood of the kids?
The kids, their mood, you know, some of them had been crying because they had been in the room with their parents.
Yeah.
And they just said, well, why? We don't understand. And then they said, test us again. And these were the kids' idea. The kids said, test us. Test us. Why can't you test us again? We'll prove to you that we know what we're doing.
Amos, I talked to a parent this morning. I gave my card out to several parents yesterday, and I had an opportunity to speak with a parent today. And one of the things that the parents are saying, which is legitimate, is that they don't want people to deem that their children are not intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, what's going to happen when they go talking about we're coming from this charter school that's been closed down for some type of impropriety on behalf of staff. And, you know, the schools don't want to take our kids because they think our kids are inefficient or not proficient in certain areas. I don't know what to tell them except for the fact that these children are paying for the actions of adults.
One of the things, and I'm going to open up the lines in just in 15 seconds. One of the things I asked the representative of the Department of Education yesterday, and he was sitting in this chair that you were in, Senator, I asked, why couldn't the superintendent of public instruction, Glenda Ritz, send a letter to every one of those kids to say this was not your fault, to lift those kids up and come from the head educator of our state?
Well, let me say
something like that.
That could have been done. And I spoke with Superintendent Ritz this morning as well as Representative Summerstead. The charter was authorized through the mayor's office.
Right.
Once the investigation is complete, the results in the recommendations that were sent out by the Department of Education did not include a recommendation to close a school. The recommendation was to do a plan of action that would get the school back, or hopefully get something done at the school. The board decision and the mayor's office charter decision was to close a school.
Mm-hmm.
So let's understand that once you get past the investigation stage through the DOE, the action or the whatever they want to do, whatever the action is or the recommendation,
the plan
comes from the mayor's office and the board. Yes.
All right, let me start with Reverend Hatcher. Reverend?
That mayor should not be the mayor of this city. He does not have our kids in his best interest. Like he said, he decided to close their school. I remember Frenner House. I am 61 years old. I went to Frenner House back in the 1950s. You know, Frenner House is, you know, they turned to charter school, but Frenner House been in this city for a very long time. And my concern now is if you go, say the employer is done with the testing, and those children who were in whatever grade they were in, they could say they failed their grade because of that test.
Mm-hmm.
That don't make no sense for them to do those kids like that. And the mayor should have came up with a better plan than to close that school. That is my comment for today. I'm praying for all the family and all the children. There's no sense for these kids to go to it, but now they don't have a relationship for a school. It's saying school is it's not going to do us no good. They have to go through this type of situation.
All right.
Not even calls for.
All right, I appreciate it. Let me go to Lorena. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. At 239-1310. Hi there.
Good morning. Good afternoon. How are you?
Fine.
I am one of the parents that was at the meeting last night. And yes, I'm very upset, and my children are upset as well. But one thing that I've always been told is to question everything. And one of the questions I have is, where's the evidence? I would like to see the evidence so I can judge for myself. Yes, the teachers did indeed have a problem, and they were the cheaters. Or is this just a ploy for something bigger and something different? And it's amazing that last night as I watched the news with my children that you're shutting down one school and there's tears from teachers and parents and students alike, but yet the mayor was at a ribbon-cutting ceremony at the New Visions Academy at 16th and Riverside. That didn't sit well with me at all. And my children, I didn't say anything to them about it, said, Mommy, that's the reason they're closing our school. They want to get rid of the Flanner House so they can make this Visions Academy look bigger and better than what it is.
That statement.
Out of the mouths of babes.
Out of the mouths of babes. Give them 10 points for that. Let me ask a couple questions. I will tell all of the listeners that I told both the state of Indiana Department of Education and the mayor's Office of Educational Innovation that the documentary proof that they have, including answer sheets where erasures were made and corrections were made, where adult handwriting was substituted for children's handwriting, that they needed to make that evidence public. Now, since I know both of those offices are listening to me right now, okay, y'all are listening. I love y'all dearly. Where is my PDF document that shows the evidence? When are you going to send that evidence to me, the Indianapolis Star, the four television stations, chalkbeat.org, all of the Indianapolis, Marion County state legislators, state representatives and senators, both Democrats and Republicans? When are you going to send that information? They came to my office. They sat in my office. Because in the media, we have conversations that are family meetings.
Yes.
And then we have public meetings. I can't say everything that they told me in the family meeting, but I can tell you one of the things I told them, that they needed to make the evidence public. Because I know y'all.
Yes.
I know the psyche of our folk. And it's not just a black thing. If I were doing this show in Lagodi, Indiana, and a Lagodi school had been closed, I know the folk up in Lagodi would be saying, where the evidence at? You're absolutely right. So, mayor's office, Department of Education, produce it. They can blacken out and protect student privacy. They can protect the privacy and the Fifth Amendment rights of any administrators and employees, but produce the evidence. You made some very good points. And hug those kids for me, because you sound like you got... Let me ask one other question, because this is what my household asked me.
Yes.
When the word came out that virtually every kid last year passed I-STEP, did you did your kids come home and say, you know, Mom, not only did we did so good in I-STEP, and I remember the teacher telling us what might have been on the did you get any indication from your kids last year that stuff might be a little funny?
No, not at all. And I ask my children every day, how was the test?
Mm-hmm.
And for my daughter, she's practically a straight A student, so it was easy for her.
Okay.
For my son, I asked him, how was your test? Well, you know, it was a little difficult, but I thought about what you said. Take your time. Read through your questions. If you don't know it, skip to the next one. And then fill in that circle. And I know there was a problem with erasures. If that's the case, then my daughter, when she takes it, she's going to be in a world of trouble because she has eraser marks all over her paper.
Well, see, and that's the other thing. With I-STEP, all you know, or all the public knows, yes, is that you either passed or failed. You're the one as the parent that knows what the score is. So we really don't know how many of those kids passed by 1, 2, 3, 10 points. And it sounds like you got some kids that probably aced it way high in terms of the scores. But that does go back to what State Representative Summers was talking about in terms of potential stigma.
Yes, and I talked with Senator Taylor this morning,
mm-hmm,
and I asked him, I said, you know, basically, in essence, what you're telling me is because you don't have the data to say where your children are placed, that my child was not smart enough to pass this test. And all the parents and kids are like, let them retest as my children. Mama, we're not stupid. We passed that test. Yes, there were some difficult parts. No one helped us cheat. But she did say, I remember that man, Brandon Brown, I believe that's his name, the representative from the mayor's office. He came to my class and asked me, how was the test? I said, oh, he did. She said, yes, he did. He tricked me. I said, well, what did you tell him? There was no cheating. I said the test was easy, you know, and it was okay. I didn't have any problems taking it. And that was that.
Let me ask, because this has come up, Senator Taylor and Representative Summers. I know a direct official of a school has the right to talk to a student at any time, the principal, teachers, superintendent, the elected school board. But what is the law on a charter operator? Does a employee of a charter operator have the right to go into a school and talk to a student without the student's prior permission or parents' prior permission?
As the authorizer, they do have a right to go in and check on the school and its performance. In regards to direct conversations with a child without the parental consent, I think that is something that needs to be investigated. I don't know, and this parent I talked to this morning, and I believe her when her kid says that she talked directly to someone from the mayor's office. I don't know if they have a right to do that, but I know they do have a right to go in and view the classrooms and do whatever they need to do as an authorizer to make sure that that school is being run proficiently and academically sound.
All right, I appreciate the call. Let me go to Anonymous right quick, and then we'll take a break at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Okay, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I don't want to give my name because too many would know who I am, but it shouldn't be like this because it's hurting too many kids, only one or two teachers and one or two staff. Let all the staff go, replace them, and keep those kids. Because my daughter went to Flannel House from the day one, went on through and went on to high school afterwards. But I don't like the idea whoever's head of this is going to hurt all those kids for no reason. Those kids were doing what their parents told them to do, go to school and try to learn. That's what the kids did. Now, if the teachers and the staff did something wrong, scatter them out, put them out, keep those kids until they finish Flannel House. Not close Flannel House. Flannel House is a pillar in the place, you know. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that's being did fair. And we need to find some kind of way to get behind the parents so the kids don't have to go around and all around in different schools and take buses and stuff and do different when they've been doing pretty good there. Get rid of the people that they think was involved. Not the kids. The kids were there doing what they were supposed to do.
I appreciate the call, mm-hmm. Senator Taylor, Representative Summers, when you talked to Superintendent Ritz, was she surprised that the board and the city had a different recommendation than the recommendation of the Department of Education, which was mend it, not end it?
As she indicated to me, she just told me what her recommendation was. Mm-hmm. She didn't indicate if there was a disagreement or if there was any discussion. Again, going back to the responsibility of the Department of Education.
Right.
Their responsibility is to investigate.
And make a plan and
come up with a solution.
Right.
For some cases.
But it was up to the board or the authorizer to make a final decision.
Right.
Well, I think they're getting away with murder, okay? Because the kids were only there doing what they were supposed to do. And if somebody took it on themselves to just erase and put what they think, those are the people that should be gone and be replaced and let the kids stay there. Don't have the kids crying because they won't enjoy and be in school like they're supposed to because they probably won't want to go nowhere else, you know, because it's hard for kids to get adjusted now, you know, like I feel. So I thank you for taking my call.
All right, I appreciate it. 239-1310, mm-hmm. 239-1310. It's afternoon's name is we'll take a break. Get more of your reaction. Talk to these legislators. When we come back, we'll ask them, does there need to be some tweaks in the law, including some additional strengthening of the boards of these charter schools? Because if this were an elected school board, you know, folks could go to the meeting and raise all kind of stand, or there's an election for school board members and y'all been around where you've seen school board members get voted out and other people voted in. We'll talk to Senator Taylor and Representative Summers about this and you. It's Afternoons with Amos after these.
Hi, this is Vanessa Summers, State Representative, and you are listening to Indiana Broadcasters Hall of Fame inductee Amos Brown, right here on AM 1310, The Light.
Back to the phones, and Jack. Hi there. Hi, Jack. Jack, are you there?
Jack going once. Jack going twice. Let me go to Anonymous. Hi there. Oh, Anonymous, you need to close your door. Take the key out of your car. Anonymous, how are you?
Hello there. How you doing?
I'm fine. What's up?
Okay, what I wanted to know, it's a question that concerns the schools. I was wondering, are those legislators going to go back in there and redo that ordinance where they got where the school bus drivers don't get any unemployment for being out for the summer?
Oh, one of our hard-working school bus drivers. I know exactly what he's talking about. Evidently, there's a change in how the unemployment office is.
Oh, yes.
Is dealing with unemployment. So the school bus drivers, when they're on summer break, the Department of Workforce Development considers that, well, you're on vacation, you're not unemployed, and is not providing unemployment compensation during the summer when those people could be called back to do summer duty. Is that correct? Hello, Anonymous?
Yeah, this is Anonymous.
Yeah, I keep hearing the buzzer or the bell in your school bus ringing while you're talking. let me get the reaction of the two legislators that are here.
Yeah, please.
I think that's it.
See, what it is they're saying that the drivers and monitors don't get any pay, but there's no money coming in for that month and a half, and they still got bills going on.
Yes, we understand that. But, again, that might be some kind of federal law in regards to the number of hours that you must work in a year in order to be considered full-time employment. Now, Indiana, through Department of Workforce Development, does have the ability to come up with its own administrative rules associated with that, but that doesn't have to be legislative. That could be an administrative rule through the Department of Workforce Development, so that's something I need to look into because, as far as I know, we don't have any statutory
language. We have a law right now.
Says this is full time versus part time.
Well, I can get you a copy of the letter, which has the Indiana code on it and everything like that.
Okay, that would be great.
How would the caller get that information to you, Senator?
232-9491 is my office number, and you can fax that to my legislative assistant, Tracy Woolbright.
Okay, 9491.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. I think we got Jack back at 239-1310. Hi, Jack.
Hey, how's it going?
Fine.
Hey, you know this situation, there's a lot of cover-up. I hear a lot of splaying away. I wish that people would get independent lawyers. In the city, I do not understand why black people keep on letting strangers mess over their kids. Now we got the government overreaching, coming in. And how could something be investigated for 2 years and 10 months? And no parents know anything, and the children didn't tell the parents anything, but they told everything to the strangers. And the teachers teach the kids to tell, and it backfired on them. That's why a lot of them about to lose their license and go to jail. But the government and the school need to be sued because these children shouldn't have to go through this. And we keep on talking about the parents or victims. No, the children are victims because you're psychologically playing with their mind. Thank you.
All right. Somebody hit me on Twitter at Amos WTLC Indy said they should retest the children and replace the staff. No reason to close the Flanner School. 239-1310. 239-1310. Back to the phones. And Elsie. Hi there.
Hey, Amos. You know what? It's time to boycott this place. I'm sick and tired of these people.
Who are you?
There was no reason for them to shut that school down to hurt those children like that. I think it's the most terrible thing I've seen. You know, what stigma are they going to put on these children? You know, that's not right. They need to get out of here and start boycotting all this stuff that's going wrong. That's what my comment is. And I agree with that lady. It's not fair to the children. And somebody called yesterday and said something about the parents. So that lady that just called about the parents, because she was very intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
She talked to her children. And I'm just tired of this, all this stigma going on in this city, Indianapolis, Indiana. It's time to stand up. Black folks, stand up for your people. And that's all I have to say.
All right, I appreciate it. 239-1310. We'll be back with more after these.
All right, welcome back on WTLC AM Indianapolis. This afternoon is with Amos, 239-1310, 239-1310, getting your reaction to this whole charter school cheating scandal. 239-1310, let me go back to the phones. And Charles, hi there.
Yes, Amos, I just have a question. I was concerned I was coming in late on this. When Tony Bennett cheated and changed the grade, that was with the I-STEP test with Christopher DeHaan, too, wasn't it?
No. When Tony Bennett changed the grade, that was what is called the overall performance grade for the school district and the school. And that incorporates things like not just the I-STEP test, it incorporates graduation rates, it incorporates some other measures of student performance, not just I-STEP. That's what he was accused of manipulating. He was manipulating an administrative grade, not the work of students in a classroom.
Okay. Hi, that's what I just wanted to do because I was coming in on the tail end of it.
Yeah, basically what has been accused is adults changing the answers of students' test papers, adults leading practice sessions with students, and in the course of the practice session, allegedly giving those students the actual questions and answers that they would eventually see on the test.
So there's no kind of way that they could put in, like, substitute teachers to get rid of the staff that did that?
Here's,
keep the kids in?
Here's the problem. The problem that I see it. Flanner House was just one school. It was an independent school. This was not like a IPS School 42 that's part of a system of 60 schools where if you had a problem with the staff of, say, School 42, IPS could find enough teachers on the payroll, administrators on the payroll, that they could swap out the whole staff and flip them very quickly. If for Flanner House would have had to find new staff from the outside, interview them, hire them, and bring them in.
You
follow me? Because they're only one school. That's
right.
That's not to say it's impossible, but that would have taken time. And I'm speculating that from the mayor's office's point of view, they felt that this cheating scandal was so egregious that it needed an immediate action, shutting the school down.
So there's no way they can reorganize in a year and come back and start back again with a whole new administration.
They could, yes. They or another entity could apply for a new charter, yes.
Okay.
That is a possibility.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. You're quite welcome. 239-1310. 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. One of the things we were talking about during the break with State Senator Greg Taylor, State Representative Vanessa Summers, you all represent not only the Unwa area, you represent the Riverside area, the old Bush Stadium area, and a new charter school is called Visions. It's part of Challenge Academy, the people that have the school in the Meadows, Catty Corner from
Tinley.
They also took over Fall Creek Academy that's right across from Ivy Tech, also that school on the south side next to the University of Indianapolis. And now they opened up a school that looks very pretty on the outside, right next to the soccer fields, just to the north of Bush Stadium. And I understand, you know, they opened it yesterday. That is in both of your districts. And I know you all were there yesterday and because you all got the invitation, right?
No, I never received an invitation from anyone.
Challenge, why would Challenge Foundation Academy not invite the elected state officials that are going to have to vote on the funding that charter school is going to get in the next 2-year budget?
I think you have to go back to the makeup of what's going on in the General Assembly now.
Mm-hmm.
That's just important. We are in the minority, triple minority. Because we don't run any head, you know, we don't run the Senate, the House, or the governor's office.
But is it true that when they get into those budget fights, both in the House and in the Senate, and those rural legislators and those suburban legislators are trying to reduce the funding that goes to urban schools, not just here in Indianapolis, but in Northwest Indiana or in Kokomo or Muncie,
any of our five major cities,
that you guys are the ones fighting, you know, fighting like cats and dogs to protect that money, and that wouldn't be money that would go to a Vision Academy. It would seem to me that that lack of courtesy, you might simply say, you know, cut them $5 less because they didn't show the courtesy to invite us to see their new school.
We don't have the knife to cut.
Well, but this is the other thing. When you think about it from a purely respect, listen, these charter schools are not in Pat Miller's district in the Senate. They're not in Jim Merritt's district in the Senate. They're not in Mike Delf's district in the Senate. They're in my district, Gene Bro's district. We should at least get a notice that they're going to have this announcement. We should be in the discussion about whether or not this charter school authorizer is doing a good job. I'm not sure if Challenge is doing a good job, but we represent the same people. And that's what's frustrating to me, is that I can sit here and talk about Flanner House all day long. But I was informed of Flanner House and the situation at Flanner House from the Department of Education.
Not from the Mayor's Office of Educational Innovation.
Right. And that's got to stop. I'm not going to point blame. I'm not pointing a finger. But we've got to stop that. And that cannot continue, because let's look at it from this standpoint. Could Vanessa and I have gone to the State Department of Education, talk to Superintendent Ritz about some opportunities and some things to do instead of shutting down this school? Yes. Ultimately, it was going to be the mayor's office to make the decision, but we could have been at the table saying, hey, let's think of some alternatives.
Let me go to Dorothy at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi. I'd like to know why the mayor waited so long. If he's known about this, why did he wait until school was starting, and he could have brought it forth before now? And also about the man that called yesterday talking about people voting. He doesn't know whether the Brown family voted or not. And even though they didn't vote, there's no reason for anyone to get killed. And they seem to think that because they didn't vote, they're probably in a period of despair because of all that is going on. The senator yesterday was blocked. She had to argue to get into the building to permit to send for her to give them the petitions that she had gathered. So that's my comment. Thank you.
All right. When you all were briefed by the Department of Education earlier this week, did you ask them why it took this long for their investigation?
It wasn't a personal phone call. It was an email that was sent. Okay. And the email read, confidential, confidential, confidential. You know, don't tell anybody. We're, you know.
Is that a valid question to ask the Department of Education, why an investigation that was initiated in March, right during I-STEP time, why they couldn't have had the investigation completed before the start of school?
I don't understand how it took that long, but then I'm not in the Department of Education. I think that's a question that deserves an answer. Once the results were provided, though, I can say that I did personally receive a call from John Barnes, but I can't.
And he's one of the top aides to Superintendent Glenda Ritz.
But not only should we have known what the results were, but maybe we should have known that there was an investigation going on too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that when you have an investigation like that, you have to be sensitive. You have to be sensitive to the relationships that are going on because you want to get accurate information. I totally understand that. But from the perspective of someone who represents these families, who had to stand up last night and had to listen to people, think of these families are hurting. And we had no solution because we weren't even part of the discussion.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I know there have been instances in schools across the state where there have been an egregious incident in the school, say an attack on a student or a sexual attack, and the school tries to cover it up and not let parents know, and parents get very, very angry if they don't get notification. And I don't know whether the legislature has passed legislation to mandate that schools be more transparent, at least communicating to parents if there's a problem, a particular problem in the school. But is this something where if a school believes there's been a breach of test security and requests an investigation by the Department of Education, that there at least is a notification to parents that the school has asked for an investigation? You're not asking for the results of the investigation, but at least let parents know we think there's a – Houston, there's a problem.
Amos, can you imagine if we had known in March that there were some improprieties going on?
Alleged
improprieties. That's what happens. We find out about somebody who shot someone the day, 20 minutes after it happens.
And then, it may take a month or two for the investigation.
Or to find the person.
Right. But we can't find out that there's teachers who are doing things to manipulate a test. Mm-hmm. The lack of communication that's going on amongst the people is the most frustrating part of this. Parents should have been notified. There were parents sitting in that room yesterday who told me that their kids knew before they did.
Is that something that may have to be corrected in legislation?
Because
that sounds like something that might be one of those unanimous votes in the legislature.
You can bet on that.
Yeah, you can bet that there's going to be some legislation in both houses to make sure that we have the procedures correct in these types of situations.
The right to appeal or the right to appeal, the right to have time to, you know, the right for you to watch us or, you know, we come under your scrutiny if you're sitting in the room every day. None of those things happen.
One of the other things, and go back to the callers, that we found out, before the public announcement and after I'd been gotten these briefings, I said, look, who is on the board of the Flanner House Elementary Charter School? Went to Google looking for the website. Was no website. Let me repeat that. Was no independent website for the school, which, correct me if I'm wrong, legislators, is a violation of a state law that mandates that every charter school must have a website and that the names of the board of directors must be posted on that website.
You are correct.
There is no website for the school. I actually asked the mayor's office, are you all aware that there's no website for the school? And they said, oh, yes, that's one of the problems. What do you mean it's one of the problems? If there's no website, you're the authorizer. You can't pick up the phone, tell the principal of the school, you have 5 hours to find a website and get it up. There's enough students around here that can get you a website in 5 hours.
There's enough students to not only get your website, there's enough students to put together a full web page. Listen, there was a lot of things that went wrong here. Mm-hmm. One of the most egregious is the lack of communication, because this could have been either taken care of beforehand, or at least parents would have had some type of notice, which they deserve, so that they're not going into the school year like this. This is terrible.
Let me go back to the phones and Carol. Hi there.
Hello, Amos. How you doing?
I'm fine.
I'm not going to talk too loud because I'm at the library, okay? I'm trying to do some research. But thanks to your guest and also the little lady that took the call. Mm-hmm. Amos, now let's get it right. Let's have another big meeting, bring out all these people. Instead of us buying all of these shoes and clothing and everything, let's come together and help these families, okay? It doesn't make any kind of sense, Amos. All they're thinking about is downtown. Okay, it's all right to do all of that, but to mess with children, Amos, this is uncalled for. Really. But thanks to all of you, okay?
All right. Appreciate that.
All right. Thank you for a wonderful show.
Thank you. Let me go to Miss Joe at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello, and thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Let me first say my heart goes out to everyone, definitely the children, being in education at one time myself. But I really do feel this. You know, like they're saying back whenever it was, the schools were not right, and then here it comes again, the schools are right. It's almost like someone was not really watching, because it's almost like they should have known people were going to come back, you know, at one time or another to do this to them And they were not seemingly prepared for this at all. So it's almost like, okay, somebody really got to be the fat cat because we know the money has gone somewhere and it's in somebody's pocket, and yet it's still the parents, the children, and so on, are the one to be hurt. It's like, that's why people are saying, you know, oh, Lord, they lie to us, they deceive us, and on and on and on. And I'm just like, kind of like, how in the world could this happen to us again? Like you say again, anyone offers.
Well, here, one of the concerns that I had, and when we all celebrated how well we thought those students at Flanner House did 2 years ago.
Yes.
I told a couple of board members then, including one that is no longer on the board, I said, A, they are going to come, you all, these scores had better be legit. This had better be real performance. Can you defend these scores? Can the staff of the school defend these scores? Because folks are going to look at you. Any school, any group of people that can perform, it's like you're the worst football team in the NFL. You have been losing for 15 years, and all of a sudden you go to the Super Bowl. Everybody's going to look and wonder, are you taking steroids? Are you doing this?
Yes.
What did you do to overcome the obstacles and be the best that's out here?
Yes.
And I think we all wanted to believe that they could back up that performance.
And now hear this message. So thank you for taking my call.
I appreciate that.
You know, Amos, you did say something that they could back up their performance. This happened in a week. Mm-hmm. This, from Monday to now it's Friday, the vote was taken
Wednesday.
There's been little, unless nobody slept for the last 72 hours, there's not a whole lot of
explanation.
Yeah.
Which means if y'all are listening, where is the proof? Where the beef? If you got the... Yeah, don't be like Ferguson and make us wait another 10 or 11 days. Come on, where's the beef? 239-13, tell me, go to Brian right quick, then we'll take a break. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Miss, my comment here is, why hasn't the city been dragged into court to get this decision stayed? And why didn't the mayor just replace the principal? It's obvious, if what's alleged is true, there's a failure of leadership. He should have just replaced the principal. So that's all I have to say.
I appreciate that. You were nodding your head,
Senator. Yes, I was. As a practicing attorney, I am actually having someone research that right now to see if there can be a stay. I don't want to presume that that's something that we can do, but that is something that I have been looking at. And hopefully we can get a meeting with the mayor's office, who might be listening on the radio right now, to discuss this further.
And Amos has our phone numbers.
239-1310.
Actually, you have my phone number.
Yeah, 239-1310. 239-1310 is after news. Name is... We'll take a break. We'll be back with more after these.
Hello, this is Pastor Richard E. Willoughby, President of Concerned Clergy of Indianapolis, and you are listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310 The Light, Indy's source for inspiration and praise.
239-1310, 239-1310's after his name is, and if that is not enough today, while State Senators Taylor and State Representative Summers are here, there's two pieces of breaking news today. One concerns state government. We have an announcement from the Indiana State Department of Health that is announcing the resignation of Indiana State Health Commissioner Dr. William Van Ness. In a statement, Dr. Van Ness says, quote, "It has been an honor and a pleasure to serve the great citizens of Indiana as my role as State Health Commissioner over the past year and a half. It is with regret and strictly for personal reasons that I have submitted my resignation. I anticipate my last day to be in early October, but plan to assist Governor Pence until he finds a suitable replacement. The dedicated employees of the Indiana State Department of Health have done a tremendous job of promoting and providing essential public health services for Hoosiers, and I have every confidence they will continue to serve the state to the best of their abilities during this transition and after." Signed, Dr. William Van Ness, the Indiana State Health Commissioner. So after a year and a half, Commissioner Van Ness is resigning for personal reasons. And then the other surprising news of the day, Simon Property Group has returned the deed to Washington Square Mall to the bank. Because they paid the bank anything on the mortgage since December. So they are giving up the property, turning it over to the bank and the lender and said, it's all yours, and walking away. Gee, could I walk away from my house and not have to pay nobody? Sarah Taylor's giving me this look like, oh my goodness. Anyway, 239-1310, 239-1310 is Afternoon's name. Let me go back to the phones. And Anonymous, hi there.
Well, just really hurt and upset is the kids that are losing here. And what I don't get is, you know, we bring to bear our resources in town whenever we want to fix something. The United Way is fixing child care centers. We got the Lilly Endowment. Why didn't these people put the resources that they have together in this town to help these children? They're the ones that are losing.
What would you have wanted them to do?
Either place the children in other schools where they're getting the same level or better education, or work to replace the principal and the teachers in an orderly and systematic fashion that didn't interrupt the kids' school year.
To answer the first question, that's what they're trying to do now, is to place the students in other, using your terms, quality schools or schools of the parents' choice. One of the things I understand, Senator Taylor and Representative Summers, was some concern from parents about the before care and after care that Flanner House Elementary provided, and wondering whether that kind of care would be available at other schools. Some IPS schools have that, others don't. Some charters have that, others don't.
That was just one of their concerns.
Yeah.
You know, the other concerns are, you know how you bring in the clinics and the hand wash, you know, how much money you spend to get
all
your
that extra
child.
Stuff you got to do.
All that extra stuff you got to do, the uniforms that you have to pay for. It's not just, you know, not just that. It's.
But I think that's an excellent point. So Lilly Endowment, if you're listening, CICF, Central Indiana Community Foundation, United Way, that's not a lot of money.
Well,
that's a meal they would do with lobbyists at Ruth Chris.
Let me bring it up.
Volunteers to come into the before and after care to add to help these people.
Well, let me tell you another scenario talking to the parent this morning, she has a second, third, fifth, and sixth grader.
Mm.
What if the school that the second and third grader get in
is not the same?
Doesn't have a sixth grade. Mm. What if the sixth grader has to go to middle school now?
Mm.
There is a lot of things that a lot of parents have to deal with, let alone from the expenses and the money. They've got to find a school with before and after care. What if you have four children like this young lady?
This brings up another issue. Should there be, let's just say for the sake of the argument, that a tornado had gone through the Flanner House Elementary School and just tore it up.
Okay.
Because we've had those situations in Indiana where the school had to go to an empty building and you have to scatter staff, or the staff suddenly leaves or they all get, it could be something.
We've had strikes. Amos, this is not rocket science that we're talking about, to keep a school open, to give parents time to get a better school, another school.
Mm-hmm.
This is not rocket science. We do it in many circumstances.
I would just like to...
You could have gone in and fired everybody who was an administrator.
Yeah.
Fired every teacher and say everybody has to reapply. But before you do that, you have teachers in place and have them come in. That's not hard to do.
Is that like an emergency group of teachers that
Absolutely.
You pull from different districts? Like,
absolutely.
Like our Task Force One that goes, if there's a natural disaster somewhere in the country, what do they call? They call on our Indiana Task Force One firefighters and first responders from every fire district in the area.
And re-interview the teachers. Mm-hmm. Bring the teachers back in. Listen, these are the types of discussions that I want to have with the mayor's office so that we could come up maybe with a compromise here. These parents should not have to get upset and do these kind of things.
Isn't it a lot of teachers that's been laid off? What about displaced teachers? We're not even talking about subs.
Well, not only that, but listen, there are teachers who had nothing to do with ISTEP. Remember, ISTEP is third through sixth.
Third through fifth. So that means
you got K-1, 2.
That's right.
They had nothing to do with this.
It's the kids that are losing. And who's going to look out for the psychological welfare of these kids?
Absolutely, ma'am.
I would really like to plead with the, you know, I don't mind pleading with the mayor's office on charter schools to reconsider and come back to the table. Because, I mean, they sat there and they saw those people, and I cannot believe that they're that cold-hearted. Now, there's cold-hearted people out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's something insidious about letting a kid go to school knowing, we're talking about weeks into the school year. That's just wrong on every level. It's just wrong. Wrong for the parents. It's wrong for the kids. The mayor, everybody should be ashamed of themselves. Would they want that for their own kids? Did they have that experience with their kids?
Ma'am, you hit the nail on the head.
I appreciate that. Let me go to Sally at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, I want to know, I feel sorry, you know, for the kids at front of house, mm-hmm. because I think that's unfair, because the kids are suffering, like the people are saying. And wasn't that a charter house on 21st, not too long ago, that the mayor closed before school started, and the kids had to find somewhere to go at last minute?
That was called the Project School over at 21st by the Monon Trail. When that was that at the end of the school? That was in the middle of school year.
It was at the end
of a school year, because I remember when the parents protested. It was like 100 degrees outside that day.
Right.
And then there was another school, Stonegate Early College Learning Center, that had financial problems, and they closed that literally right in December before January.
And then didn't Arlington have an issue?
And Arlington had issues?
Yeah. But it's hurting the kids. They have a hard time doing it. You know, like now, and the kids don't know which way to go. I mean, they don't know. I don't know. It's just upsetting. You know, these kids out there trying to make it, and they get confused. They're more confused than the teachers, because they don't know which way to go. Right now, these kids don't know where they're going. And it's sad.
All right, good point, my sister. Let me go to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. I would just like the parents to know, they need to be at the mayoral election next year and vote this mayor out and vote in a mayor who cares about our kids. Thank you.
I appreciate that. 239. Is this going to be, here we are in August of 2014, and we still got to deal with this year's election. Is this going to be an issue that people will remember in August 2015?
If we remind them.
Is this one of those remindable things when we get to August 2015?
I think remindable when you're dealing with children, when you're hurting children's feelings. I think that's remindable. And I think that's something that resonates and sticks with people when you hurt their children.
Is it also very hard to get people in this environment to focus on the mayor's proposal for four-year-olds when people are saying, well, that's okay, but you're messing over 7, 8, 9, and 10-year-olds?
This is, this is about the children for me. I really don't like making these issues political, mm-hmm. but this is about the children. And somebody, I don't care, Republican, Democrat, Independent, had a responsibility to inform these families and inform these and give these people a chance, give these kids a chance. Don't make the kids suffer because of something an adult did. That's my focus on this
one. Let me go to Rochelle at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I do agree with the previous caller, and my heart does go out to the parents as well as the children, because I'm a veteran parent from Flinter House. When I was a single mother, my daughter went to pre-K at Flinter House and went all through 6th grade, and then attended Tinley, graduated from Tinley. Now she's in high school and college.
All right.
And now my son went to Flinter House, and now he's at Tinley. Mm. So Flinter House, let's not forget, has a rich history. When I was a single parent, Flinter House, Miss Malone, everyone there was my extended family. So it goes beyond the academics. That foundation the children actually are receiving at Flinter House is needed. So it's not only the school aspect of it is Flannery House as a whole, and that's my comment.
Is the fact that this was Senator and Representative a grassroots school? This was sort of like Marva Collins in the sense of an independent grassroots school. This is not a school that's part of a chain that's out of town. This is not a school that's out to build schools in different parts of the city. All they wanted to do was educate kids right there at 24th and Dr. King. Is this something where if you look at the charter schools that Bart Peterson started, Tinley, just the one, Crystal House, just the one, Flannery House, just the one, and they weren't in the business of trying to expand. They were just in the business of just trying to serve children. Is this part of it, that there seems to be no compassion on the part of the mayor to understand the importance that in a charter school there needs to be some grassroots, down-home, family-oriented schools as well as conglomerates?
Well, they always have wanted parents to be in touch with their kids and in touch with what was going on in the schools. And from what we understood from the parents last night, that they were very involved in Flannery House.
Mm-hmm. And as far as the differences, Flannery House is an independent school. A lot of these schools have what are called EMOs, mm-hmm. which are education management organizations that come in and run the business side of it and then leave the curriculum in the school running up to a school leader. I think that sometimes these independent schools get in over their heads and may not have the type of administrative skills needed to run a facility like this. I think that there's a lot to be said for experience too. I'm not saying that you should tap into the resources that are out there. Tinley, Crystal DeHaan, their independents. Maybe someone at the school should have asked one of them what they would do in this situation.
Ask for help. Let me go to Mary Ann at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling in because I'm actually one of those project school parents who was just mentioned. And you can tell I'm kind of nervous talking today because this brings back a lot of pain.
Hmm.
I guess I just wanted to give my compassion and my best wishes to the Flannery House families. They've got not just a rough year ahead of them, they've got a rough 2 or 3 years ahead of them. A lot of my daughter's friends from third grade, when her school shut down just, I think, a week before school was to start, we still don't know where they are. We've lost them. We don't know what school they're in. We don't know how they are. We may never know how they are, because the community is just gone. Of the families that we do know, many children didn't find a school for weeks. A lot of children that we know of were homeschooled part of the year in trying to find a school. At the mayor's information fair, like they're having for Flannery House, at ours, I don't believe that there were even any openings for my daughter's grade level. Mm. Families had to place children in multiple schools. Families had to drive a long way. My daughter was in 3 different school settings that year before we found one to stick.
And 3 different?
Yes. And we could afford to drive her.
Mm-hmm.
We could afford to finally put her into a private school that was not a wildly expensive one,
mm-hmm.
but was more expensive than many parents could afford to do. We found a way to make it work. It's been really hard on all of us. It's a hard thing to go through. It's a heartless thing to go through, regardless of what the reason for it is. And it can be done. The mayor's office had a chance to practice on us, and they should have got it done a lot better this time.
Can I ask you a question, ma'am?
Of course.
When did you get notification from the school that you were going to be shut down?
We didn't. We were informed by a tweet by the mayor's office the day that they decided. They announced it on Twitter that they were shutting a school down as if that was a great accomplishment. The school took 3 or 4 hours to try to get a hold of the mayor's office that day to find out if it was in fact true. The parents finally got letters a week or two later.
Mary Ann, let me ask you, if you are in touch with some of, and I know you've lost track with some, but if you're in touch with other parents that went through the Project School experience. I think that Senator Taylor and maybe some other members of the Marion County delegation, Democratic delegation to the legislature would like to hear from your experience, because it does sound like there's some legislation that's going to be proposed when the legislature comes back this fall and in the winter to try to deal with these. And it sounds like, Senator, that this is the kind of experiences you want to know. What's your contact number to get hold of your administrative assistant?
Yes, Marianne, my contact number is 317-232-9491. And I do serve on the Senate Education Committee, which most likely would hear this type of proposal. So I would like to talk to you.
Okay, 232-9491.
Yes, ma'am.
Senator Taylor, because I just caught the show a few minutes ago. I have another question.
Yeah.
May I ask that?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. What, two more. One quickly is if the Project School families, the ones that we know of, how we can help the Flanner School families, because we would if we could in any way that we can. And the other one is, Amos, I looked at the documents on your website.
Uh-huh.
There's one there that goes through in great detail what actually is alleged to have happened at the school.
Mm-hmm.
One of the allegations is that a teacher instructed other teachers to show the Jungle Book.
Yeah.
What in the world does that have to do with this?
Evidently, from what I, in reading the documents, evidently one of the essay questions or the essays that they were going to ask students to deal with, I guess, dealt with superheroes and probably was going to deal with the subjects in those movies.
Jungle Book?
I guess.
There's no superhero.
Really, there isn't.
Yeah, well, this has been that long since I've seen the Jungle Book.
So,
that was my interpretation of that part of it.
So our reading tests are asking questions in which children can be helped because maybe they've seen a movie while another child could not afford to?
You've raised a very good question. That's why I'm glad we put the documents online for the community to see them.
That is a huge, huge problem, and I can understand why a teacher might wrongly led to do that.
All right, you made some very good points. The other thing is, and we'll find out when those gatherings are going to be for parents at Flanner House. I know there's one this afternoon from 3:30 to 6, and I'm sure those parents would love to hear from somebody that's been there, done that.
Yes, I was going to say that if there are any families from the
Early Learning Center, whatever that one was called.
Please come over to the meeting. I believe it's going to be in the gymnasium tonight.
Would we be allowed in? I know it sounded last night's was private.
No, it wasn't private.
Okay. It was private. They didn't let the media in.
Right.
I put the media out.
Right. Yeah, we're not going to let the media in. We want to hear from parents. Don't bring your children. We want to hear from parents, and please, if you can have some people there, that would be great.
I don't know if it's possible on short notice, but we'll do what we can.
Okay,
I
appreciate
it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take a break. We'll be back with our remaining moments this afternoon with Amos after these.
This is Dr. Ian Smith from Celebrity Fit Club and the 50 Million Pound Challenge, and you're listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310 The Light, Indy's source for inspiration and praise.
Back to the phones, and Douglas, hi there.
Hello.
Hi, Douglas. You're on the air. What's up?
I have a quick question.
Yes.
If the mayor's office knew that the investigation was ongoing, why didn't they shut the school down before it began?
Before the start of the school year?
Yes.
I think they were supposedly waiting for a final report from the State Department of Education that they did not receive until Monday of this week.
Okay.
But the question then can be asked of the state, why, if the report was made when ISTEP was in March, why
mm-hmm.
did it take you until the 18th day of August to deliver a final report and recommendations? Part of it could have been the state's recommendations was keep it open and
right.
make these changes, and so they probably figured, well, since our recommendation is keep it open, there's no rush to get it before the start of school, not anticipating that the mayor's office would want to shut the doggone thing down.
Right.
That's a good point.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. 239-1310. 239-1310. Let me go back to the phones. And Leonard, right quick. Hi, Leonard.
Hello, Amos.
Hi.
I got a question. Aren't there some constitutional issues here involved
about one person doing a crime and you punishing another person, back like in slavery when they had the whipping boy. When the master's son done something wrong, they whipped the whipping boy. And that's what's happening to these kids. These kids haven't done anything wrong, but the wrong that was done by somebody else, but it seems like they're getting the punishment, now, which in my opinion is illegal.
Now, you know, I'm just an honorary lawyer, and I was out at, I was out at Coleman Middle School yesterday at the back-to-school thing and ran into one of our city's outstanding private attorneys. I will not mention their name, and I was briefing them on this whole Flanner House thing, and they thought that perhaps there might be some violations of or failure of to properly educate children, and they thought that there might be some legal liability there. Now, but again, I'm just the honorary attorney, and I just heard a real attorney give an opinion just based on information, and Senator Taylor, who is a real attorney, is keeping his mouth shut.
Well, let me say this. I am not giving legal advice, nor am I giving a legal opinion, because I do not represent anybody here. But I will say, from my legal standpoint, I think that you, sir, while there may not be a constitutional violation, there could be a statutory violation in that there might have been some notices that were not given, some procedural things might not have been done properly, and that might be a way, hint, hint, to convince other people
wink, wink,
to,
nudge, nudge.
To rescind their revocation of this charter.
Let me go back, and there's, but on the reverse side, there is a federal court decision in the whole Project School case that says the mayor's office has the right to do it. The board voted, you know, to go out of business. So it makes things a little messy, but that's why they have laws. Let me go to William right quick. William, we got about a minute.
Hey, how you doing, Amos?
Fine.
Hey, I got it. I got on the show late today, so I don't know if you already covered this. I'm a current parent at Flanner House. Are there any programs in place to help us the uniforms for the children that are going to other charter schools?
The Mayor's Office of Educational Innovation is saying that they're going to be working to provide some uniforms wherever they go at no cost to the parents.
Okay.
That is what they're saying.
Okay. And do you have their contact information? Because my children actually start their new school this Monday.
And what school are they going to be going to?
They're going to Tinley Renaissance.
They're
going
to go to Tinley Renaissance. Yes. Were you at the meeting at last? Hold on a second. I'm going to give you a number, and this will be helpful for everyone.
Okay.
The mayor's office says people that have questions about Flanner House Elementary, let me give you two phone numbers. The first is Tamra Wright. Tamra Wright, 281-5817. The second is a Jackie Ganser. Jackie Ganser, 503-7799. 503-7799 for parents and grandparents of kids that are at Flanner House Elementary that have questions. The mayor's charter school office wants me to tell you all to call these two young ladies. I'm not putting numbers out of school because they have put that on the website of the city's Department of Education Information. So somehow those ladies are getting ready to be the busiest telephone operators in town. That's Tamara at 281-5817, Jackie at 503-7799.
And I would like to remind the parents that the meeting will be at the school.
The meeting,
Watkins had something. Douglas, the building,
Parks.
Yes.
Park
department had something.
Bring a fan. Ought to bring some of them Ought to bring some of them AM 1310, the light fans over there. Would that help?
It would.
It would help.
It would help because it was out in there yesterday.
Savannah, when we're done, could you run upstairs and get promotions to get? Where are they? Make sure they take some fans over there. Oh, Savannah gonna go get the fans. That's right. And then they'll see the light and they'll calm down. And you don't think so?
I want it to be calm tonight.
We need to
pray about the meeting. We need to pray about getting some people to actually come to the table and really put these kids first. And let's come up with a compromise that we can
that we can,
All right, Eric, there's going to be this Flanner House meeting in a few minutes, and the room is probably going to be full, and the air is going to be challenged, and these, elected officials are going over there. Can you bring some AM 1310, the light fans that they could take over there? All right, we're going to take care of everybody. We'll tighten everybody up. State Representative Vanessa Summers and State Senator Greg Taylor, thank you for your wisdom. Thank everybody for this. Again, the parents' meeting is this evening, starting at 3:30.
It starts at 3:30.
I will not be there till 4, between 4 and 4:15, but my colleague will be there at 3:30. She's so sweet.
And then other people will be, and it will go for a while. Yeah, it's and folks from the mayor's office will be there. There will probably be some other folk there as well. Hopefully there'll be some ministers of the gospel. Keep everybody in order and be, there's nothing wrong with being mad. Just be mad in a respectful manner.
And I would like to see some of those board members would come.
I think they ought to be there.
We'll see. You ask me tomorrow.
Okay, I will ask you that tomorrow. So again, thank you all very much.